Before we pray, this is a difficult sermon. Not so much because of the topic, but because of how we have usually truncated the topic to just be one thing. And I'm going to try to be more biblical about it and expand it. So you're going to have to put your thinking cap on. This is not going to be the milk of the Word. We're hopefully going to look at the meat of the Word. And your mind is going to be like an old horse. Have you ever gone to a riding place and rented a horse? And, you know, they've gone a certain trail for so long. Have you ever tried to get that horse to do something different? And your mind is going to want to keep truncated the term we're going to use to one area. And it's much broader than that and much more sinful. So work with me as we all hear the word of the Lord from Christ today. So let's pray. We thank you, O Lord, for your word that's in the center of all that we do. May we have your spirit to understand your word. And as your people, may we grow closer to your Son. In your holy name we pray. Amen. We're talking today, and we've got one more of the major sins to go to, but today we're talking about lust. And as soon as I say lust, you've truncated that already to one area. You've truncated that to the area of sexuality. And while it includes that, brothers and sisters, it's much bigger than that. Throughout the Scripture, there are many times where it is used. It's not used that often in general. It's like 29 times, I think. But it's often used of sexual thoughts. But it's also used of lusting for the second coming of Christ. It's also used lusting for good things. So it's got to be more than just how we truncate it. And the problem with only thinking about it in one area is it gives us a buy that if we say, well, I don't think of that, then I must not be lustful. And that's a danger of truncating it. And what I'm going to try to see, show you today is that even if you've never had a sexual thought in your life or recently, you still deal with the temptation to lust. That's my task. We'll see if I can, with the Lord's help, do it. Lust is the Greek word epithumiai, which means an intense longing, a burning. And I'm going to, here's where you need to put on your thinking cap. Lust is a burning desire for a miracle. Now, I just took two words that you knew, but you've never really probably put them together. Because when you've lusted before, you've probably not been thinking of miracles at the same time. But what is a miracle? A miracle is when God acts suspending the normal means and time for something to happen. Let me give you an example. Rain falls. And the rain falls naturally. And waters the ground, waters the vineyard, waters the grapes. And then someone at the proper time harvests the grapes. And then someone else takes their feet and stomps the grapes. And then a bunch of stuff, I don't know what happens. And then it gets bottled and it's wine, right? That's the normal means and time that it takes. A miracle is when Jesus just took water and made wine right now. In opposition, in suspension, I should say, of means and timing. And lusting is having an intense longing for something to happen right now. Lust burns. It makes us intensely obsessive about a life that gets better or gets the way we want it right now. Lust wants like mad to be like Samantha on Bewitched, who could just, what did she, touch her nose or twinkle her nose? And the cancer would be gone. They would just touch her nose or twinkle her nose, and the financial difficulties would be gone. She would just touch her nose, and all of a sudden, whatever you intensely desire would happen right now. Do you see how lust is much broader than just sexuality? It's intensely wanting something that's not in your life right now. Maybe a teenager who lusts for that car. And he doesn't want to go through the normal means of working for it and earning it, so he steals it. Do you see how that's lust? It's wanting to suspend the normal means and the normal amount of time and have it right now. Or an adult who wants it instantaneously, immediately. When we think of the word immediately, you go immediately to think that immediately means what? Quick, right? Immediately is a time thing for you, right? It's a time term. But I want you to understand, immediately implies quick, but technically immediately means what? Without mediation. Without means. So if I immediately go from here to the back of the sanctuary, what would I happen? I would quickly be there. What's the normal way for me to get there? Walk. That's the means. See, keep with me. This is going to come together. But it takes time for me to walk back there, doesn't it? It takes time for me to see the water go through this process and become wine. It takes time for me to deal with all this stuff with cancer or whatever it is I intensely desire to be fixed. It takes time. And I don't want that. I want it now. Like the disciples who went up. Because one day we will reign, won't we? Doesn't the Word say that one day we will be in judgment of the angels? One day we will be reigning with Christ forever and ever. But that wasn't good enough for James and John. When did they want it? Right now. And they lusted for it. Lust is absolute impatience. You've probably never thought about lust that way, but it's biblically, it's impatient. Because what does God tell us to do? In Isaiah 40, verse 31, we have the promise that we will be lifted up on wings of eagles. But before that, what do we have to do? Wait. Throughout Scripture, we're being told to wait on the Lord. Wait. Wait. The holy posture to a God who's the potter is to wait. Lust is that impatience that says, no, I want what I want now. I'm give you a perfect example happened this week. Over the last couple months, I've been toying with going and getting another doctorate. I just like to study, and I want another one. And I have a desire for it, and you're going to see later, having a desire is not bad. We're created to have desires. So I've been looking around, looking at programs, and you know the normal means and times to get a degree is what do? You read, and you study, and you write, and you go through the normal. So I've been looking around, but I guess my computer or Google has this way where wherever you search, it lets everybody else know where you've searched. So I've been bombarded with things I haven't even looked at. And wouldn't you know, I got an email this past week from a very prestigious sounding seminary that will give me a doctorate, and the diploma looked beautiful, suitable for framing. And they do require me to write, but they don't need me to write a dissertation. They just need me to write a check. And if I write the check, I can have the diploma and the degree immediately. And they even used that word, and I thought, they're saying quick, but what they're meaning is, I can lust for it so much that I'll circumvent the normal means and the normal time and get it right now. Let me stretch you a little further. Our nation is beset with debt. Nationally, corporately, and individually. I want you to see that debt is a manifestation of lust. You're shaking your head. You're starting to see what lust is. We are in debt because we believe with the church at Corinth that we need to eat, drink, and be merry. Why? Because tomorrow we die. We do it now. It's all about now. In one of my favorite novels called Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, if you haven't read that, read it. It's wonderful. He talks about a world that's just gone amok, much like the world we live in. And he said that, has this wonderful way of saying that, and picture this in your mind. He says, all the crosses have been lobbed off. The top has been cut off. And then he says, and so all the crosses are simply become T's. In honor of this nation's hero, Henry Ford, who gave us the Model T that was created on an assembly line. And you could have it now. It's interesting that what Huxley points to, because Jesus Christ was tempted to have it now, right? In the wilderness, Jesus Christ was tempted to turn rocks into bread and to bow down and have the kingdom immediately. But he would not lop off the top of the cross. In fact, he mounted the cross and he was willing to suffer, as Hebrews tells us. Why is lust a sin? So you get the picture. It's impatience. It's wanting something now. Why is it a sin? For two reasons, chiefly. One is it enamors us with this world. It makes us too concerned with those things we want. Because when we're waiting on the Lord, who are we waiting on? I just said it. We're waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on the Lord. Lust focus on what? Whatever it is we lust for. So if we get it immediately, we don't need to keep waiting on the Lord. It's a change of focus. A good example is in it might be my life verse in 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, bodily exercise is only profitable a little bit, but spiritual exercise has great profit. Now, there is profit in physical exercise, but it's even better to focus and not be enamored with this world. And being enamored with the world leads to being enslaved by the world. See, lust burns. I want to read a quote to you that is so powerful. This is one of the most powerful quotes I've ever read, by a gentleman named Paul Tillich, a theologian of last century. Listen to this. And you'll hear that it has a very familiar phrase of Jesus Christ in there. It talks about how lust enslaves us. We are captive to that which we obsessively lust for. Every concern is tyrannical. And wants our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole strength. Every concern tries to become our ultimate concern, our God. Jesus Christ said that we are to only wait upon the Lord. Jesus Christ said that if we love God, we're to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. But what Tillich is saying is every concern that you have wants to be a tyrant. Every concern that you have wants to work its way into your mind to make it your ultimate concern or your God. And you know that's true, don't you? Have you ever woken up with them in the morning and you're having a perfectly good day and someone brings something up and that concern jumps in your mind and it steals the rest of your joy for the rest of the day? You understand that? Wait upon the Lord. The problem is we do have tough times. In tough times, we want things to change. We're not saying in some Buddhist way that we just need to get to the point where we're stoical and we don't want things. There are lots of things that I want. There are lots of things that are good to want. If you're in poor health, you should want good health. If you're in financial straits, you should want to become in a better position. It's fine to desire. Lust is just taking it to a sinful accession. We read that Abraham was in a bad way. Abraham had been jerked around for many years. After he had given the prophet a promise, he was just jerked around. He endured famine, so he went to Egypt. He got deported from Egypt, and then he had conflict with his nephew Lot. Then in Genesis 14, he goes into battle against four different nations, and he knows what it is to suffer. Jesus Christ knows what it is to suffer. If you'll look with me in Hebrews that Dave read, in Hebrews we read this about Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus Christ suffered for you and for me. Verse 7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. He's doing what we've been instructed to do. When you need something, you ask the Lord. When you're having a problem with your life, you beseech the Lord. You turn to the Lord. We hear that all the time. Cry out to Jesus. Turn to the Lord. Offer it up in prayer. And have any of you ever turned to the Lord and offered it up in prayer? And you said amen, and the problem was still there? Well, wait a minute. I thought prayer was supposed to work. I thought this was supposed to, you know, if you believe, ask, believe, you'll get that what you're asking. Here's Jesus. He not only prayed, he prayed with loud cries and tears. And we're told at the end of it, he was heard. You ever prayed and wondered if you were listened to? Wonder if you were heard? Jesus knows he was heard. So he prayed, he was heard, and God was able. And it doesn't say it, but guess what? Jesus was a perfect son, right? Jesus had never done anything wrong. Wouldn't you think a good father having a perfect child in hard place cry out with tears to daddy to come and fix it? Wouldn't you think a loving father would rescue him from that difficult situation? I would. Wouldn't you, all the dads? If you had a child who was in a situation that they were not there because of their own bad decisions, they had done everything right, they were in this tough position because of other people's evil and sin, they beg you with tears that led to blood for you to do something. And you have it in the power to do it. And you don't. Because Jesus did that. He cried out to his Father. He lusted for a different way. He intensely desired in the garden to the point that he shed blood. He wanted a different way than to receive the cup of suffering. But at the end of the day, he said, I will surrender my lust, my intense desire, and I will wait upon the Lord. And he went to the cross, and he would not exchange God's appointed means, which was the death of his holy son, God's appointed time. He desired something more, but he surrendered it to the Father. Amen.
Giving are you my heart and all that is within. Lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. Giving you my dreams, laying down my rights, giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. Singing you the song, I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss, for the sake of knowing you, for the promise of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all.
In one of the readings this past week, we have the story that you're familiar of the woman in Bethany who came and she broke open and anointed Jesus' feet with perfume, costly perfume, perfume that was worth about a year's worth of salary. Now, we as 21st century perfume users don't appreciate the significance of that. Because perfume, if you use it, is just something you put on in addition to everything else you put on. In that day, it was often the situation where they didn't use banking accounts, they didn't have mutual funds and advisors where they would put their retirement, they would put it in hard commodity. And one of the things that they would use and build up over time would be holding the value in perfume or nard. So what this woman was doing was taking her retirement fund. Or if you'll allow me to say it, she was taking her future and out of her commitment, willing to surrender it and sacrifice to Jesus Christ. It's fine to have desires, but we wait upon the Lord so that our focus is always the Lord who will give us good desires in His timing. Our focus is never the perfume, but the Lord to whom we surrender all. For He modeled for us and provided for us all on the night in which He was betrayed. He took bread, and having given thanks, He blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this as often as you remember me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup and said, "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as we drink this blood and eat this bread, we partake together in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. We thank you, O Lord, for these gifts, the gift of Jesus Christ. We think, O Lord, in some egotistical ways at times that we've sacrificed so much to you. Lord, may we understand in the midst of the celebration of and receiving of your body and blood that we've not sacrificed at all. In Scripture, little children would give up their few fish and bread, or grown adults would give up their nets, or women would sacrifice their perfume. But those pale in insignificance to what you gave for us. You gave your all, your body and your blood. And we come forth in faith, receiving your body and blood in eternal thanksgiving for the gift that you've given us. As we come, O Lord, with hands that will be extended in a gesture to receive, may we make sure through the white hot light of the Holy Spirit bringing back to us the Word of God that there is nothing in our hand that we are lusting for, that we only want to receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ and trust you as you did the Father that in your time we will receive all the good that you have for us. So may our focus be upon you. May all else be surrendered. And this we ask in your holy name. Amen.